Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Over 2,400 U.S. military personnel were killed in Afghanistan between 2001 and 2021. Over 140,000 veterans have died by suicide since 2001. The nation's war in Afghanistan has left scars that remain to this day. Filmmakers Laura Varela and Andrew James Gonzalez documented the scars left on a group of Marines deployed to Afghanistan. The India Battery was deployed to Helmand Province in 2010. They met with significant casualties, including 22-year-old San Antonio native Corporal Jorge J.V. Villarreal.
Welcome to Afghanistan. We ain't California no more.
Villarreal took hours of video footage of his deployment to share with his family back home. It was an expletive-laden overview of his living quarters, the weaponry they used, and the treacherous terrain they walked.
Yesterday, one of my boys stepped on an IED. He became a triple amputee, lost his legs and his left hand.
A buried IED, an improvised explosive device, took Villarreal's life while he was on foot patrol. Varela and Gonzalez used Villarreal's footage to help tell his story and that of his surviving brothers-in-arms, who still grapple with their own physical injuries and mental health struggles. Their documentary, American Sons, will screen nationally on PBS on Monday. Laura Varela explains how she was able to acquire Villarreal's photos and videos.
So we were very lucky that the footage came to us. April Villarreal, who is Corporal J.V. Villarreal's sister, wanted to do something with this footage when she received it, unfortunately, after he passed away. And she knew she had something very special. She had seen another film that I had made on Chicano Vietnam veterans called As Long As I Remember, and was doing a national search because she was like, I need to talk to a documentary filmmaker. She realized I was in San Antonio, and that's when she looked me up. She contacted me and reached out, came to my office and showed me the footage that she had and asked me, of course, if I wanted to do a project, you know, about her brother, about his experience in Afghanistan. And of course, I agreed.
So there was no indication that the family had already seen a lot of these videos? They didn't see any of them until after he died?
They had seen a lot of the images, the photos. There was a great set of photos by Getty Image photographer Scott Olson, who was also a Marine, but he was embedded at the time for Getty Images. And there was photos of the days before, during, and after his passing. And there was images that JV shot and that the Marine brothers shot. However, the videos were in a different format. And it wasn't until Andrew came onto the project and got this set of media and converted them that we were able to see his selfie videos.
Well, Andrew, how was it that you came onto this project?
Well, I had been working with Lauda for a number of years here in San Antonio since I had moved back from Austin. And at the time, we were doing nonprofit work, commercial work, short form mainly, and she had been speaking about doing feature films for a while. At the time, I wasn't ready, but years had passed, and I had been involved in a couple of projects that gave me confidence and made me feel like it was time to make the leap to doing a feature. And so I approached Laura and I said, okay, I know you've been speaking about these feature films. What is it that you have access to? She showed a number of things. A lot of them were very veteran-oriented, and then she showed me this one. And I'm surprised. I still don't understand why she didn't show it first. But maybe she wanted it to be, you know, save the best for last. But once I saw this footage, just completely blown away. The intimacy, just seeing these photos that were taken of JV and the men in the unit are, you know, on the highest level of journalism. Some of the greatest photos that I've seen coming out of the Afghanistan war. And so that alone attracted me to the project. And as Laura said, it wasn't until we converted the videos that were JV's personal videos, because with this video and photo set, there were also videos of a lot of the other men from the unit had been filming. I guess they were sharing, because there was a lot of different formats. And I assume they were just sharing clips, as people were at the time when digital media is easy to share. But it wasn't until we converted the videos that JV had shot and seen this selfie style video, you know, before the iPhone front camera, right, where everybody became selfie. Like, you have to take the video camera and consciously flip the screen around, set it up, and film yourself. And he was doing that. And so once we saw that, we knew that it was something very, very special. This unique voice, this unique person who represented us here in San Antonio, this West Sider. And we knew that it was something we had to pursue. And that's kind of the origin story of how we were involved in this.
And one thing that kind of stood out to me when I started watching this documentary is that you can tell that JV and some of the other individuals in this battery were, you know, kids from the hood. Maybe I'm being too presumptuous here, but you can hear that he's a guy who's proud of his West Side roots.
Say West Side, go like this. You know, I go West Side. Cross, fingers. West Side.
Yes, he was a real Tejano. That's what his sister April says. And she says that she really wanted to make sure that people who told his story understood him and were like him and had that same pride of being Latino, being Chicano, Tejano. I think it's something that many in the Latino community do. We serve. We have a very high proportion of service compared to our population in the United States. And also, like, for example, in World War II, Latinos have a very high amount of medals of honor in proportion to their population within the armed services. So I think it's just following those traditions. JV was from San Antonio, Military City, USA. And many of the men also talk about, after 9/11, how they wanted to serve for their country. So at that time, when that deployment happened, which was 2010, these guys were fairly young, but they remember what happened. So many of them were inspired to serve at that time.
Well, Andrew, I don't know how much footage you may have gone through, because I know you're also the editor of this film. So can you explain to us how you were able to kind of go through the footage and know what clips, what videos you were going to use, and how you're going to piece them together to create this narrative that not just includes JV's videos and photos, but also interviews with some of the surviving members of the battery?
Well, first of all, it's years of going through footage. So it gives you lots of time to analyze what is there. But with JV's footage, we used all of it. I would say at least 95% of what he shot, at least when he was speaking to the camera. It's a wonderful documentation of who he was and his life in Afghanistan and being intimate, sharing with what he thought was just his friends and family, but now the world. And so that really drew us in, and that was the core of what we were intending to make. And so then it was just about how do we build a story around this person. And from there, we followed his closest Marine brothers and his family just to try to understand more of who JV was. And that's when we were exposed to the different themes that are going on with service members today, PTSD, TBI, just different issues when returning from combat, when working towards being a civilian and the challenges there, the challenges with being a Gold Star family and losing a loved one, or just having your loved one return different and trying to understand what that's all about. So it was really just understanding JV, building a story around the footage that he gave us, and then 7 years of working with Lauda. You know, her and I are the creative force behind this. And so it's really just understanding what we're trying to say. And from that, partnering with a number of different collaborators. As we know, film is a collaborative medium. So we have a variety of people that we work with to help us, both with the technical aspects of creating a feature, but also the creative aspects, and just bouncing things off as a group. And there's nothing that I would change. And I'm sure Lauda would say the same. It's just perfect. The way everything just came together, the story laid itself out for us. And, you know, JV gave us what he gave us. I don't know what his true intentions were. I didn't know him when he was alive. But what it ended up being, it almost crafted itself. You know, and they say that when you make narrative films, the director is God. But when you're making documentaries, God is the director. And so it's just about being present and allowing the story to unfold for you and not being too forceful of how it was supposed to be one way or the other. I know there's, I really came into my own to trust myself on this project. And so there's many times during the film where I felt like, oh, I didn't get that, or the camera ran out of footage, or things were happening where you, at in the moment, you feel like, oh man, I wish I would have done that differently. But I learned to just let it be. You know, everything was happening as it should. That was like a mantra, like, everything's happening as it should. Everything happened as it should, because it's just so difficult, this process of creating something on this scale. Now going out into international media, it's just, it was very challenging. And the more that I just trusted the process, things just came together in a way that you couldn't write. You know, reality is much stranger than fiction, and, you know, just allowing it to be and then just being present to capture it was really, you know, the intention on this.
Andrew James Gonzalez is producer and director of American Sons. Laura Varela is the producer of the film. It screens nationally on PBS Monday. When we come back,
that's what we're here to do, is show that these are warriors that have gone the distance in what human beings should be required to do to protect others. And they need our respect and they need our care.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
If you've been tempted to sell that car you're not using anymore for some extra cash, consider donating it to Texas Public Radio instead. Pickup is free and the process is easy. And it's probably worth more in support than you might think. Learn more at tpr.careasy.org.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The new documentary, American Sons, features video and photos taken from fallen 22-year-old Marine Corporal Jorge J.V. Villarreal.
Just want to give y'all a quick look of where we're living at, you know, show you the conditions that we got to live when we're in Afghanistan, what we put up with, and how little we get paid while we're out here. So here's a quick view. That Texas flag right there, you see that? That Texas flag in Afghanistan. And it is 120 degrees, by the way.
The film also includes conversations with his Gold Star family.
All of them are my sons now, which they all call me Mom. I know they're a part of JB. Oh, they always will be.
And the Marine brothers who carry the physical and psychological scars of war.
I love all my Marines for my squad. You know, and my squad got so f***ed up that they ended up disbanding my squad because I lost too many Marines because we were always getting hit.
Filmmakers Andrew James Gonzalez and Laura Varela spent years piecing together the footage and interviews and reunions that make up American Sons. The story begins in 2010 when Villarreal and his unit were sent to the Helmand province in Afghanistan. Varela says Villarreal was the project's original filmmaker.
We started filming in 2019, and that's when we met the Marine Brothers in January. It was a small reunion. And then they had a reunion in October. And so we got to meet them all together as well there. That's where we met Angel Rios. And then we just kept filming with them. We went to the next reunion, and then we went to another reunion. So only one of them is in the film. However, those reunions have been taking place ever since JB has passed away. And it was through those reunions that we also got to see the new family from the Marine Brothers and the Gold Star family, how they came together and created a very loving environment for each other to help process the grief of the loss of JB.
2 years ago, we started coming every year. And I wish we would have done it sooner. It helps us to open up to each other. Talk. A lot of us were kind of doing our own thing, avoiding people just because we didn't know how to deal with it.
For documentary filmmakers, yes, we talk about the years and how long it takes to make a film. Sometimes it's a blessing because you can follow a story and you can see it develop. So independent filmmaking is not for the, you know.
It's not for the weak.
Yeah, it's not for the weak. But, you know, if you believe in your vision and you keep trying to let people know what you're doing and keep fundraising and keep plugging away, right? Good stuff happens. And so I think that was the best part about the film. And like the very first time we filmed was the reunion between Sergeant Sincere and Ty Klinman.
I miss everybody.
Yeah, me too, man.
We had that footage in every trailer and fundraising clip that we would do because that was one of the first things we got to film, and it was so emotional. And then we would pair that with JV's footage, and on as we would go and get a little bit more footage, we'd get the best stuff until we were able to get full funding and from Latino Public Broadcasting, Black Public Media, Humanities Texas, even the City of San Antonio Arts and Culture, Bexar County. So we just consider ourselves very lucky as independent filmmakers because now the paradigm for PBS filmmakers, as we all know, is changing. So I think we're one of the last films and cohorts to get our film funded fully this way.
Well, Andrew, I mean, there really were some magical moments where I'm assuming you're thanking that filmmaking director in the sky for these to happen, like Laura was saying, that one reunion that is being shown in the trailers. But there are just so many other really interesting moments where these Marine brothers, they're meeting each other maybe for the first time in a year or maybe for the first time in many years. And they all of a sudden just start talking about their experiences. You were talking about Angel, and Angel meets up with Ty, who is one of JV's brothers in arms, who's an immigrant from Thailand. And Angel almost ends up being like a support system to Ty. You start to wonder if Ty is going to be okay because he is expressing that he is lost, another sentiment heard by so many other Marines. They just don't feel at home unless they are with the men that they served with overseas. So I don't know what kind of emotions that you feel when you're capturing something like this on camera. That is just something that you almost feel like an intruder, perhaps, on when these feelings are being just so openly expressed.
Well, I really feel for these men because they open themselves up in a very vulnerable way that you don't normally see from a group of Marines. And that's really, I think, what makes this story special. Dacine, you pointed out, that was a very emotional moment for me. Really, because I'm an emotional person to begin with. But prior to that, I'd already been spending a considerable amount of time with Ty, filming with him, and we met him for the first time when we met all of these guys, and he's a really special guy. He's very different than anyone you've ever met. He's very different than any of these other guys that are friends, and he has this wonderful heart, almost like a childlike existence. And seeing this transformation, because I believe that I'm one of the only people who witnessed that, it was hard for me as well, even though, I mean, I don't know these guys as much as they know each other. But when I do meet somebody, I share with them. You know, we have an experience together. They share a lot with me. I share a lot with them. And I try to sit and be with them as much as possible. What you see on camera is not all the time that we've spent together. So there's a lot of time for us to get to know each other and share. And so to experience that was very emotional for me. And it was very emotional for Angel. And then when Angel and I are together, you know, he's emotional because of it. It affects me. But at the same time, I'm not having the same experience. I'm the filmmaker, and I know my role. I don't avoid what that is. I try to be very transparent about what we're there to do and do our job. So it's very different than most professions that other people have because you're kind of walking this line of existence. And the process is normal to us now because this is what we do, but it seems very strange. Like you said, it's almost like an intruder. But in those moments, all I can do is focus on what's happening within that little screen on the camera and if the sound is coming through good. Because at the end of the day, that's what I'm out there for. And if I don't bring that back to the team, I'm not doing my job. And so when you have a focus like that, it can take your energy and all of these other thoughts that are swirling around your head. It can just take them and beam them into this, like almost like a meditation where you're just making sure you're doing these two things and they're technical things. And it can take you away from that for just a moment and make sure that you're just being guided. And then a lot of the emotion doesn't hit you until after. Every time I watch this film, I cry multiple times during the film. It's really an emotional film for anybody who hasn't seen it, and it shows another side of these men than the general public will never see. That's what we're here to do, is show that these are warriors that have gone the distance and what human beings should be required to do to protect others. And they need our respect and they need our care. You know, they need deeper care than what they're receiving. And we're just trying to bring awareness to that, that they're humans and they have names and faces and they have lives.
Well, Lauda, this film was able to screen here in San Antonio a few months ago, sort of a special screening here in JV's hometown of San Antonio. Can you tell us a little bit about how that was received, who attended, and sort of what your overall takeaway from that moment was?
Wow, it was so special. It was coming home, of course, to the city where JV was born and raised, where a lot of the footage takes place with JV's family, with the reunions, with home footage of JV as a child. It's also the city that me and Andrew live in and work and grew as filmmakers here. So it was beautiful to come home with our team as well, who's from San Antonio, to have the family and all our friends and supporters come. It was 650 seats, I believe, at the Carver, and I don't think we had any empty seats. We also had Joaquin Castro, who was the keynote speaker. It was attended by the San Antonio Film Commissioner, Christine Hill, Texas Senator Menendez, General Ayala, Keith Wilson from Bexar County. General Ayala is with the city of San Antonio. We feel really blessed, very honored. The Marine brothers were here too, several of them who are in the film.
Had they seen the film prior to the screening?
Yes, they saw the film before the South by Southwest premiere. And it was very important for us too to screen it with them together in a private setting so that it wouldn't be the first time they saw it with a big crowd. And so they join us at many of our screenings at the film festivals and our impact campaign. And we're really lucky that we were able to experience that event with the full support of our community.
Andrew, have you heard from any of the veterans featured in this film what their reaction to it has been?
For the most part, very positive. I know it's always challenging to see yourself on this giant screen in a very emotional way. So I always had concern for that, how they were going to see themselves. But I think the bigger, although it can be uncomfortable, I think the bigger picture is very obvious. And I think everybody's on board with that. It's very obvious that they wanted to tell their story, that, you know, they're not being heard in a lot of times. And I think you can see from many of the events that have transpired here in San Antonio. In fact, a service member committed suicide in front of Audie Murphy, the second one
the
of 2025
center.
In front of the VA center. Mm-hmm. So you can see that there is a lot of challenges happening in the veteran community, and many veterans don't feel heard. And this was an opportunity for these guys to say whatever they wanted. Of course, we crafted into a story that people can watch and understand and take home with a big idea, but they were allowed to just say whatever they wanted freely, and we were just there to be present with them. So, like I said, it can be uncomfortable, and that brings out a lot of different emotions and feelings one way or another. But overall, I think it's very positive.
Yeah, and I think, Lauda, I think Andrew brings up a really good point that in this film, if you don't know anybody who may be going through what some of these Marine brothers have gone through, you don't really know. You hear about PTSD, you hear about traumatic brain injury, but it isn't until you really see this film to see that really long-lasting impact that it is having on these men who it is still fresh to them today. Like we were talking about Ty. He was talking in the film to Angel about an incident where he heard gunfire and he just completely lost it, toppling over a table and becoming essentially violent. So it isn't, I think, until you hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that you really start to realize how it is that people are continuing to struggle to exist after this war.
Absolutely. And we can see the numbers of PTSD, of suicides as well, which is very high post 9/11. But it's important for us to see them as human beings and see their humanity, because it's not just another person or another statistics. It's a human being. And I think once we see that these people are just like us, then we can empathize more, and we can also hold our leaders accountable to, you know, where we send them and the care that they get when they get out of the military.
Well, Andrew, we know this film sort of touches on the end of the war when the U.S. pulls out of Afghanistan, but this is not obviously mentioned in the documentary. But have you heard from any of these veterans what they thought about all of that? Because I'm guessing maybe because of the timeline, you really weren't able to address maybe whether they felt like maybe they fought in vain, as so many people were saying, that why did all these people die if Afghanistan was just going to fall back into the hands of the Taliban, what we spent so many years there for? Just wondering if you'd heard anything from them.
That's a very interesting question, Norma. When you see the reunion in the third act, they're in Montana. You know, previously, we were going to address the pullout because it was happening at the time we were putting the film together. We weren't even done with production. So it was a fresh, new take on this storyline. And so we had tried to work, you know, even the official footage into the cut, and it just wasn't working. There's a little ticker that we did where the dates kind of transform to go from the second to third act. And if you look, it shows the pullout, and it's only 3 days later that they're at this reunion. So while we were at the reunion, I tried to ask a few times about the thoughts, and nobody wanted to speak about it. So one, it was very, very fresh. And two, that doesn't take away from what these men were doing there, the mission that they had there. You know, this is the time 11 years apart from when they came home. So they had plenty to do there. They had lots of time to, you know, reconcile with what they've done. And I don't think that the timeline and the leadership that was in charge at the time of the pullout, obviously it can get into your mind, but it doesn't affect what they were there to do and the mission that that they achieved. That reunion, you know, it was a really great time for these guys to come together and reflect on all the moments where they had served. But just to be around each other, as Lauda had said, there's so many suicides that plague veterans. You know, from the previous reunion to that reunion, there was at least two men from the unit who had committed suicide. So it was a challenging moment. Like I said, we tried to talk about it, but quickly that was not, you know, wanting to be discussed. And it didn't need to be discussed. This film is not about the Afghanistan war. It's just part of the journey that this group of people whom which we're following the humanity participated in. It's just part of their story. And really, this is a story about love. It's a story about eternal love, right? Because you have someone who has passed on. But this love that is formed between a family and a brotherhood, you know, that can come together and grow together and be there for one another. And that's really the important message that we're trying to share here, is reconnection, is the healing that can happen through reconnection. And that the isolation that a lot of these men and women can fall into, you know, that's a difficult road to go down. And so we need to have time. Everybody, in human beings, we're social creatures. We have to be together. And so we just want to take this film, share it with others, and use it as an opportunity to bring our service members together, to bring our populace together, and to share in a moment, especially here in San Antonio, like this event we just talked about, to share in a moment that celebrates the city of San Antonio, that celebrates one of our own, J.B. Villarreal, and his family, and to celebrate art and culture and filmmaking here in this great city.
Well, Lauda, this film has already made the film festival circuit. It world premiered at South by Southwest, and now it's going to get a big premiere on PBS on Monday. Can you give us a preview?
Yes. So the film will have its national PBS broadcast premiere and streaming premiere January 12th, Monday, at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Time. And we're really thrilled and honored for this opportunity, of course.
We just want to encourage everybody to tune in on Monday. You know, this is a long time coming for us. I know that for everyone listening, it's just another thing to watch. You know, there's so many options nowadays to just kind of watch. It wasn't like the old days where we just had a few channels. And I really encourage you to tune in because it is a beautiful story. But this is also the story of the last decade of our lives. So much has gone into this moment. So celebrate with us and be there and watch it and connect with us. AmericanSonsFilm.com is the website. And you can go there and get on our newsletter, and that's the best way to stay connected with us.
And I have to say, we have very short memories in terms of history. So even though we lived through that decade, it's good to be reminded because it falls out of memory so, so quickly. Well, Andrew, Laura, thank you so much for joining us on Fronteras. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Andrew James Gonzalez is the director and producer of the documentary American Sons. Laura Varela is the film's producer. American Sons will be screened Monday, January 12th on Voces on PBS. The film will also be available for streaming on the PBS website and app. See a trailer for the film at tpr.org. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.